This call is being recorded.
Okay, because of the technical issues that a few folks are having getting in on here, recording this, Brendan is having a technical issue getting on too, which is one of the ways we could tell. So I'm going to read out the performance stats at the start of this call and then go through the standard agenda, and then I'll stop the recording and open it up for questions. Thank you, everyone, for dialing in this morning, and looking forward to this call. So for the month of December, oil was up 5%, S&P 600 energy index was down 8.5%, and bison was down 3.7%. So we're going to go through what we normally go through on these calls, which is the energy M&A market and credit availability and credit space, and then go through a couple of recent portfolio updates and then open it up for questions. Energy credit markets remain very strong. There remains some of the disconnects that we've talked about in prior calls in terms of high yield or bonds for some of these public companies trading above par and at sort of mid to high single digit interest rates, while at the same time some of their equities are down materially from their high points a couple years ago. We continue to think that the credit market is sort of a reasonable reference point in terms of transaction values and trajectories, and we've continued to see that as there have been a number of different transactions in the oil and gas space, including in sort of the smaller cap public space and in private assets that are analogous to those held by the small publicly traded oil and gas companies. In terms of transactions, December was a little bit of a quieter month, and it looks like everyone's focused right now on the IPO of Venture Global, which is a very large LNG export facility company, and they just brought on their Plaquemines LNG facility, which we sent a note out about last week in terms of the impact of this facility is coming on as quickly as they are and as low cost as they are, despite some of the post-COVID supply chain and permitting and regulatory and other issues. And so it will be very interesting to see where that price is. Initially, the expectation had been sort of in the $50 to $60 million billion dollar value. And then more recently, it looked like there had been some attempt by the investment banks leading that offering to get the pricing up to over $100 billion of value. And we've been able to track this both through the news, as well as there are a couple of closed-end funds that own some private shares and have been trading sort of in sympathy of the prospective IPO value. Anyway, that looks like it's going to come back down towards that sort of $60 or so billion range, which has sent those closed-end funds falling. We don't own any. Again, we're just using them as sort of a value reference and to better understand what's happening in this market. That being said, even at, let's say, a $60 billion value and, let's say, a $2.5 billion IPO, that would be one of the most significant initial public offerings of an energy-related company in years, and particularly for a North American-focused oil and gas company. For our portfolio, the specifics of the IPO and the specifics of that valuation are not super meaningful, but what does matter is that at a sufficiently high valuation, which it looks like this thing will be getting sort of whether it's 60 or 100 billion, we expect a continued move towards LNG export facility buildouts. And with the success that Venture Global, as well as it looks like Sabine on their most recent facility, have had in getting facilities on from final investment decision to first gas in less than 3 years, we think there will be even more of these projects coming on than the market seems to currently expect. And then we've shown in the recent EIA forecasts of facilities coming on. And what that should do is pull a significant amount of natural gas from the North American market, particularly from the US market, And so what that's done is made us a lot more bullish on natural gas. We've had a fairly neutral view on it over the last few years, excuse me, as shale development activity has continued despite oil price declines, and with the increasing associated natural gas production coming from oil-directed drilling, we were pretty neutral to bearish on natural gas. That shifted as we saw that there would be so many of these facilities actually built and coming on and pulling gas, along with the sustained strength in Asian and European natural gas prices, which is sort of those are the two big end markets for U.S. liquefied natural gas. And so despite the ramp up in LNG exports from the U.S. as well as from Qatar, we are seeing these very healthy, frankly, really high prices in those two markets, as well as imports in various other places. I think people globally were sort of not certain of the availability of liquefied natural gas supply. And so these facilities, I think, are giving some of the potential consumers of this gas, they're giving them some additional certainty or additional confidence in the deliverability of such gas. And so you're actually seeing some places that may be somewhat surprising bringing in some liquefied natural gas, as well as starting to ramp their potential for additional imports. So that supply demand dynamic has actually shifted quite a bit. Our view has shifted quite a bit as well in the last few months. And we'll be sharing, I think, in the next week or so, some additional metrics in terms of what this looks like for our portfolio if natural gas prices are in excess of, let's say, $4 an MCF versus the pretty abysmal prices we saw in 2024 of anywhere, what was it, like 240 or so an MCF at Henry Hub. And then in some cases, some of our producers actually experienced negative local realized pricing for several months last year. So that was pretty tough for those companies. Their cash flows fell, their metrics looked terrible. And most of that was due to this sort of very discounted headline price for natural gas, as well as glutted local markets. As that reverses, we're very excited about what that does for the equities of these companies that we're invested in. And we have increased our exposure to some of the most undervalued equities that have some of the most upside to higher natural gas prices, as well as to oil and associated liquids production and prices. And so one of the most interesting things that we've found is that some of the companies that have this exposure on the smaller market cap size, so let's say under $1 billion, have had some remarkable success in some smaller fields at drilling very high rate of return wells, and their stocks are not up. In some cases, they're actually down materially in the last year. And last year was a tough year for Bison. We did underperform. And I think a big driver of that was us underwriting to company specific fundamentals and sort of missing this short term blowout in the local realized pricing, as well as focusing, I think, too much on the sort of longer term demand for some of these products, and again sort of missing this period and missing, I think, just how much the market view on these things would shift negative on the assets, despite the assets holding up quite well versus the local realized pricing and the headline pricing for natural gas in particular. And so as we see that shift, we think there's upside both from these stocks just being unbelievably cheap based on their core operations and their base production, as well as in many cases, they're either paying off a ton of debt, which historically does translate to significant equity gains, as well as paying large special or ordinary dividends, and then in some cases also buying back a lot of shares. And so we think there's going to be somewhat of a forced re-rate on at least some of these stocks. And a couple of the ones that are the cheapest are paying very high dividends which is not really something that we're looking for per se in the fund. It's not like we're trying to get the highest possible dividends, but they're paying these dividends because they're making so much money. And in a few of the cases, they were making all that money at $2 or $2.50 natural gas and $70 oil. And so as we experience higher gas prices, and as we experience improved well productivity and some success in some new areas for these companies, we think there could be sort of this multi-pronged re-rate where we get multiple expansion and we get higher cash flow just purely from higher prices, and then also some benefit and potential further multiple expansion from the improvements in operations. And so it's one of those things that I think is quite difficult to communicate. And I certainly don't think we've done the best job with it in terms of explaining sort of short-term performance. We've always said that we expect this strategy to be very volatile and that there would be periods of underperformance and periods of outperformance. But I think just the toll that it takes emotionally and attention-wise and so on from a period of underperformance, as well as a period of outperformance, and especially after the period of enormous outperformance that we experienced a few years ago, I think it's quite tough. And so I think as we look forward, I think on our last call and a few prior ones, we talked about how it looks like 2025 may have a lot in common for our portfolio with 2021. I think this sort of better evidence for a undersupplied natural gas market and seeing some of the lowest margin portions of our portfolio's production and revenue streams flipping towards some of the highest margin, and you know, these things being contributors to cash flow declines turning to cash flow increases and revenue declines turning to revenue increases, we think is a similar effect to what we saw starting in Q4 of 2020 and ultimately going into 2022. And so these companies are not as cheap as they were in late 2020. But they are very, very cheap. And I think the biggest difference is not actually that they're less cheap than they were in 2020. It's that their comps that are either larger or better covered or better understood are actually trading at much higher valuations already. And so I think there's room for some of these stocks to perform in line with how they did, maybe a little worse. Again, I'm not saying any of these things are going to be 1,000% type return position. Some of that was just sort of wild, but there is room, I think, for multiple times return re-rates in some of our larger positions in the fund, and a lot of that is driven just by this move from the forward curve for natural gas being sort of the realized price for natural gas in 2024 being almost half what the forward curve for natural gas looks like today, and it does look like there's actually some upside to that natural gas price forecast versus the forward curve. And again, some of our companies have had either big discoveries or big improvements in well productivity, and oddly are trading at very low valuation multiples, even on trailing numbers, despite that operational success. So we think it's sort of these multiple legs that should contribute. And it's one of those things where we know the fundamentals are there for these companies, and it's just a question of at what point do those fundamentals and do those shareholder returns and do those quarter over quarter and year over year improvements translate to much higher share prices, and that part is less certain. And again, that's where it does help that there are these significant shareholder returns in place to sort of cushion any volatility around that, and then also to provide sort of additional capital to either add to positions that are lagging or to deploy into other compelling opportunities. So I did record this. The idea here is just with people having trouble getting onto this this Dialpad conference call to be able to make this available to folks after the call. So as usual, all of this is subject to the forward-looking guidance disclaimer. No one knows the future. You know, past returns may not be indicative, and you shouldn't invest in anything based on this. Please consult relevant legal documents, and if relevant, consult an advisor. So I'm going to close up this recording and then open it up for questions. And thank you all for your time today and for your investment advice.